Hi, my name is Trey. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovery for lust, pride, and control. Hey, friends. I want to begin by reading the opening of a letter I wrote about 6 years ago. This letter now sits as an appendix item in the Courageous Hope material. Courageous Hope is our Christ-centered recovery ministry for women who have experienced sexual abuse and want to be free of the pain, shame, and guilt that abuse can cause. Here's the opening to the letter. It is addressed to the husbands and the men who are walking through life with the women going through Courageous Hope. To all my brothers seeking a Christ-honoring, satisfying, and fulfilling marriage, I want you to know that I am not a perfect husband, far from it. I walked into my marriage with a porn addiction that I assumed marriage would cure. But rather than cure, what porn accomplished was deceiving me with incorrect ideas of what sex would look like. And when you combine that with my wife's history of sexual abuse, we are in for a long journey. Unfortunately, it was one filled with pain, mistakes, frustrations, and nearly a total collapse. I hope that by reading this, you can avoid some of the same mistakes. While my sexual frustration was not the real issue, as a guy, it was easy to make it the issue. The more frustrated I became, the more I was convinced it was her fault. She was broken. She did not want sex. She didn't enjoy it. She was not interesting like those videos. I knew that marriage is supposed to be satisfying in every way, including sexually. See 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. And that a broken world leads to broken things that need to be cleaned up. But I also believe that God's perfect design allows sex within marriage to satisfy both spouses. I believed it was possible. Step out of the letter. When I was 2, before I can remember, my father died in an accident, and I grew up in a family with a God-fearing mom and an older and younger sister. My mom's primary focus was to raise us in the faith, and she decided to homeschool us until junior high. This led to me being around 3 women in my house for most of my childhood and with no male role models. My mom married the man I called my dad when I was 10, and while he was a good role model, he did not father me in terms of what a man's role is in a relationship, what sex is and isn't, what porn is, etc. I learned about those things from friends and books and finally the internet. Years later, I married my college sweetheart, Jen, and we began into a marriage journey neither of us were fully ready for. My vision of sexual intimacy in marriage had been shaped by porn, and Jen had a history of sexual abuse as a child that she had blocked out, but these had a major impact on our lives and marriage. After a few years of marriage, she went through Courageous Hope's predecessor and began to process her past abuse. This led to a process of recovery for us, one that I did not handle well, to say nicely. I let sin begin to rule my heart as physical intimacy broke down. One, due to her past or to her process and past abuse, and another due to my finding fulfillment in porn and fantasy. I don't have time to tell you about the years of slow decay I led myself into here, but over time I allowed us to become disconnected. It ultimately led to an adulterous heart that in me that I finally found what I was looking for after 5 years or so of the struggle. I came to Regen 7 years ago confused. I was daily reading the Bible, had finally hit my mark of memorizing 100 different scriptures, was praying daily, and had for the most part checked all the boxes. But one day I read this verse and it stung me. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. I can say that my life, while representing those traits at times, was overwhelmingly void of them. I was an angry, bitter, anxious, and controlling jerk. Sure, I had good friends, family, health, and a business growth that suggested life was great, but inside, I truly felt trapped. I didn't know how to have real joy, peace, contentment, or any of the other promises a relationship with Christ should entail. I just knew that I felt unfulfilled. Fleeting happiness might be found in a business deal one day, but would be quickly lost the next. And way too often, I was just angry, like all the time. If the Bible promised all these good things like joy and peace, why was I not experiencing them? As I worked through the process, I found inventory, confession, and amends to be critical steps towards healing for me. Tons of junk that I had either intentionally hidden or forgotten about came flowing out of me. There was so much damage, I was stunned. I read a verse that began to shine a light on why I was discontent with life, Isaiah 59:2. But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so he does not hear. I've never walked through anything so difficult as those steps, but I've never felt anything as freeing either. I hurt my wife, family, and friends in deeply grievous ways. I betrayed their trust and was hiding behind a shield of deceit and self-protection. When it all came to light, we were able to begin to heal. Listen to another part of the letter I wrote. I wrote exactly what I wish someone had said to me at the beginning of my journey. Your story is different, and I pray that you are far less sinful than me in your forever walk towards unity with your bride. So what happened for me? Well, I decided to confess and bring others into our problem. I told people everything. And let me tell you, this would have been a lot better and easier for me if I had just started confessing and asking for help from the moments the problem started. What happened next was, by the grace of God, surviving. We both poured into God and into each other. We couldn't do it anymore on our own. And a funny thing happened. God started to heal me. He started to change my heart. He started to make my wife more attractive and my sin less. If you had told me there was hope for my sex life a couple years prior, I would not have believed you. I don't know if my wife would have either, but God promises healing. Read James 5:16. Today, I still struggle. I'm not the man of God or the husband I want to be. I still need to confess and feel the temptation of sin. But I can tell you at one point my marriage was falling apart, but now there is real renewal and growth. At one point, my bride experienced every one of these bullet points from above, and now she leads women through recovery from them. In fact, she co-authored the curriculum. At one point, I deserved a loser, but now Christ has restored us. Back out of the letter. Today, my happiness isn't dependent on work success. My intimacy and relationship with my bride is light years different from where it was, and I can honestly say I find peace and contentment in Christ in spite of circumstances. Praise God. I want to take a second and speak to the men and women in the room that have experienced sexual abuse. I want you to know that God loves you and that the abuse is not your fault. None of it. God created you in His image, and you are a wonderful child of the King. The abuse grieves Him. He sees you. He hears you. He understands you. I want you to know that shame is a tool of Satan, and he would use it to keep you trapped. But let me say this again. It was not your fault, and there was freedom available through Christ. I don't personally understand the emotional, mental, and spiritual toll that sexual abuse survivors endure. I have learned it is a unique and deep wound, one that can impact every part of life. I want to invite any ladies in here to attend Courageous Hope and any men to attend MEND. These are our recovery programs specifically designed for survivors of sexual abuse because this kind of abuse leaves unique wounds. If you are married to a spouse who was abused and it is impacting your marriage, then know I sympathize greatly with you. I healed into more than a few pillows over the years myself. I would encourage you to read the letter I wrote and know that I am open and available for a phone call, coffee, or a Zoom. My name is Trey, and I don't deserve to stand on stage and tell my story, but Christ has redeemed me from death, and I humbly, and tonight publicly, point towards Him as a redeemer and restorer of all things. Praise God.